Luke chapter 8, it's not the end is the title of the message tonight. This is number 19 in the Healing Examples series. And go to Luke chapter 8, and we'll begin there in verse 41. We are talking about Jairus and the healing of his daughter. And last week we began to go down the road of concerning worship and how he fell down on his knees and worshiped Jesus. And we said that worship was the beginning of the miracle and how important it is for you to worship the Lord in your life. And I'll tell you, without worship, you'll get into trying to understand it in your head. Put it up before the Lord, get down on your knees before him and worship him and just thank him. And the bigger that you and larger that you magnify him in your sight, the smaller the problems become. Have you noticed that? If you'll magnify the Lord, he becomes big in your sight. He's first place, front and center with you. And everything else takes on a smaller a picture in your life. When I put the Lord first in my life, I notice a difference. You have to make a concerted effort to do that because things throughout the day will come in to try to pull you away from putting him first. And my goodness, God forbid that you should start your day somewhere other than in the Word of God. You know, it shouldn't be in the newspaper. It shouldn't be on the TV. It shouldn't be on your computer or your phone or whatever. It should be the first thing you do. Okay, I'll grant you, you go into the bathroom. Everybody does that. But the fact is, then you go out and you get your juice, coffee, whatever, tea, whatever you drink, and sit down and have some time with the Lord. Get before him. Get your tank filled up for the day, okay? Now, these Wednesday nights have been, you know, I mean, we're on our 19th week of looking at healing examples. There's not a person in here who doesn't need to have their mind renewed more with the Word of God in regards to healing or any other part of the Word, frankly. I mean, if we get to the point where we think we've got it and we understand it, we don't need, hey, I've got to step up on everybody here and that, or you know, and I don't believe anybody in here thinks like that. I think we're all hungry. I really do. I think you're hungry. I think you want the Word. I think everybody has different, you know, levels of Word that's been brought into their life and that they have had sown into them. But the fact of the matter is we all need to keep growing and we all need to keep hearing. And Ann mentioned it to me today. We were talking about this and I had mentioned this message I was preparing for tonight. And she said, you know, when trouble hits, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is many times the most important confession that you will make regarding that situation, because the moment the situation hit, what's in you in abundance will come out of your mouth. And if it's not faith, if it's not the Word, then that's a revelation of what's actually in you, okay? And so we need it in us so deep, so ingrained in our thinking that the moment anything goes on, our first response is, here's what the Word says, okay? It's not, oh my goodness, like that man on that, there was a plane crash, and when it was a catastrophic failure of the plane, I think a wing fell off or something, and he said, Jesus Christ, we're all going to die. And he died. You know, sad stuff. I mean, you'd think people would call on the name of the Lord, not use the name of Jesus Christ like a cuss word. But what was in him in abundance, what he had been doing when he was driving down the freeway and somebody cut him off, what he had been doing when he got upset at somebody on the telephone, he used the name of Jesus Christ, but not in a prayerful way. And you really have to wonder, did that man ever know the Lord in his life? Maybe. Maybe he backslid a lot, but very possibly he didn't. Okay? So I think what is in you in abundance comes out. Did Jesus not say that in Matthew 12? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, brother, you know, I was just a slip of the tongue. No, it's what's in you in abundance that comes out. And especially in times of when you're squeezed a little bit, it comes shooting out, doesn't it? Oh, amen, it does. We're all alike. Look at verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, I'll say this, that this thronging, in fact, it was in the Amplified Bible. It brings out, that's in Mark chapter 5, the verses in chapter 5 that deal with this same account. But it brings out the fact that the people were almost suffocating Jesus. We're talking about bumping, pushing, trying to grab, trying to be around. The disciples are getting a little carnal about the whole thing because they don't like being pushed. These guys, I mean, you remember what they said to Jesus? I mean, you're saying somebody touched you? Of course somebody touched you. We got people all over the place. They were thronging him. Okay, jump down to verse 49 because 43 begins the incident regarding the woman with the issue of blood. But in verse 49, it says, while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, except Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleeps. Now, I mean, as we read this, you know, the fact is she was dead. Jesus said she wasn't dead. Her body was sleeping. Okay? Her body was sleeping. And you'll see in just a moment, let's read on. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise, or little girl, get up. And her spirit, look at this, verse 55. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, her spirit, see that verse 55, came again. So the body was laying there and the body was sleeping, but her spirit was someplace else. So when Jesus called her to arise, her spirit came back into her body, is what really occurred. So he's talking about she is not dead, the she being the spirit. Her body is sleeping here, yeah, but she's not dead. And then he calls her, and she comes back. Okay, let's go over to Mark chapter 5 and read the account over there. Mark chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. I like it on these instances of healing that we read in the Word that there are many times multiple accounts, and what that does is it gives us different angles. Fills in some of the gaps of what's going on. And in Mark chapter 5, we'll begin there in verse 22. It reads this way. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, saw Jesus, okay, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, this guy was one of the rulers of the synagogue, all right? And so he had heard about Jesus. One of the things that you're going to find as you look in the Word and you look at circumstances like this, especially in the New Testament, people were talking about Jesus. Are you talking about Jesus? Are you telling people about things going on? Are you telling? I mean, when we have miraculous healings take place in this church, you need to be sharing that with people. You need to be giving those testimonies. There are people, like I said the other night, driving by here that are going through horrific things in their lives and have no hope. And you and I have on the inside of us the answers for their problems. Amen. Now, a lot of folks are trying to ignore Jesus and becoming a religious freak, don't you know? But at times when the situation gets bad enough, people will suddenly sit back and listen. I'm telling you, I've had people that mock the gospel. that later on asked me to pray for them. And you know, you want to say, you know what you want to say, but in your flesh, but you go, no, wait a minute. It's bigger than that. People make stupid moves in their lives and they say things and then they get in trouble. And I'm sorry to say that Christians play this game too. Now, it's not just the sinners out there that need Jesus. Of course, you kind of expect that out of sinners, but Christians that play the game, that's a whole nother deal, you know. I mean, to whom much is given, much is also required back again. And to know that you should be worshiping the Lord in church, hearing the word, fellowshipping with the Lord, fellowshipping with the saints, and doing that, and to just cut God out of your life because you want to sleep on a Sunday, or you want to you don't want to be dogged down with, you know, having to live by that set of rules called the Word of God. I mean, my goodness. You know, that's sad. And you know, some folks are wondering why they're not getting results in their prayer life. Let me just back up just a second. Because Sunday before, we were talking about when the devil, you're committed to Christ, the devil is under your feet, right? If you are not committed to the Lord or submitted to the Lord, when you submit yourself to the Lord, you come under Him. You're not going to exalt yourself above God and get away with it. But when you submit yourself to the Lord, you are under Him. And in submitting yourself to the Lord, you walk into a place of protection, number one, but also a place of when you're submitted to Him and you have His name and you have His weaponry, His clothing, His armor, and all of this on you, now you're in a place of power. And so if you are submitted, you are under the Lord, under His authority, listening to what He tells you to do, then the devil has to listen to you. Here's the thing that we find. Folks want to keep these. I was reading it this morning in the book of Psalms. Secret sins. Keep the secret sins over here and hang on to them and then speak to the sickness and command it in the name of Jesus to go. Command the situation to change, all the while holding the secret sin. All the while hanging on to some situation in your life that you know good and well you need to get straight with God. Oh, but Pastor, you know, you can't judge people because they do this, this, and the other. Well, I want to tell you something. There's already a judge, and it's the Word of God. And that's what it said in John chapter, 12? Or maybe 10, end of 10, end of 12. There's already a judge. He's already pronounced judgment on some of this stuff that's out there that people are doing. And so if you're not committed and submitted, and yet you know the scripture that says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Oh, well, that's real good. This will give you some insight into maybe in situations you've seen in the past where a person, you know, didn't receive what they wanted. Well, they weren't submitted to God. It's really that simple. Well, how can you say that? Well, we can't call the word a lie based on somebody's experience. We all like to think that we're submitted to God like we ought to be all the time. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't, you know, part of the time. Of course. I mean, when you repent, you get things straight. It's that wavering back and forth business that'll get you in trouble. And then during that time when you're wavering and you're trying to speak to the sickness, the devil doesn't have to listen to you if you're listening to him. Do you hear me? Think about that for a minute. If you're listening to the enemy, that means you're not submitted or, you know, committed to the Lord like you should be. And then you think he's going to listen to you when you say in the name of Jesus, but you're over here, you know, doing all sorts of ungodly stuff, and then you're going to command evil spirits? No, you're not. Do you hear? No, you're not. Sickness is not going to flee when you speak to it if you're not submitted to the Lord. It's under your feet when you're submitted to the one who has put it under his feet. Amen. but if you're playing a game, you know, and you know, in fact, you admit it before people that you need to get this thing straight in your life and you don't do anything about it, and yet you're still trying to speak to sickness all the time, it isn't going to change. It won't change. This is a very, very important aspect of this whole thing, being submitted. Amen. Being committed to the Lord. Sure. Thank you, Jesus. So, where did we leave off? In Mark 5, verse 22-23, he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and, there it is again, thronged him. Now, that is the actual verse, verse 24 of Mark 5 in the Amplified, that says they were nearly suffocating him. That's how much they were pressing on Jesus. Now listen, you got to get this. You got to get this. This is very important. Huge crowds. There were huge crowds. Oh, my goodness. And this man made a statement. "Come and lay your hands on her. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." Do you see that? Faith knows ahead of time what the outcome's going to be. Let me say that again. Faith knows ahead of time what the outcome will be. And it's based on God's faithfulness and God's power. And you doing your part to submit yourself to him. When this man bowed his knee, got down and fell at Jesus' feet, and worshiped him, that was an obvious outward sign of him submitting himself to the Lord. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He had heard things about Jesus. For the fact that he went to Jesus was an act of submission based on, you know, what, I mean, they were hearing things about Jesus, but he was a carpenter's son. He wasn't a high priest. He wasn't one with a special something that people recognized in the community. They knew him as Joseph and Mary's son. That's what they knew him by. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just speaking regarding the way people saw Jesus. But they had been hearing about what was going on when he'd go places. And the crowds, are you kidding me? Yeah. And the reports of miracles happening. Sure, that's what this crowd thronging him, that was a result of all of the talk that had been going around. Sure. So, look at verse 35. Jump down to 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.'" That, right there at that moment, what would be the reason Jesus would say, "Be not afraid"? Because the moment that death was spoken and they said, "She's dead," the thought instantly would be, "It's over, don't bother." That was the report. The one that gave the report was thinking, "It's over, leave him alone. There's no use." See, the Bible is clear, and it talks about us being free from the fear of death. You remember that? It's bondage. The fear of death is bondage, and literally fear of death is when people think that it's literally a fear of the loss, and it's irrecoverable loss. In other words, you lost something and you'll never recover it. That's why people get into mourning for extended periods of time, because they have no hope. They think, "It's over. It's the end. I'll never see that person again." I told you about the funeral I did one time for a family I didn't know. And this man stood at the wife's casket and wept and wept and wept uncontrollably. It was terrible. And I'm standing right there. I didn't know this man. But he just, he nearly was hysterical with weeping. And, you know, "I'll never see you again." And my heart went out to him. I'm not mocking him, but I'm saying when people have a fear of death, they see things differently than the person who knows they're going to see their loved one again. This is not a loss that's irrecoverable. The fear of losing something that cannot be replaced. That's that fear of death, the fear of bondage. It's bondage. It's amazing that Jesus put this first on the list. Don't be afraid. Stop the fear in its tracks. Stop. Don't be afraid. Every time I read that, that was the initial moment and the confession that this man had made that if you'll come lay your hands on her, she will be healed. He had to fall back on that right then. And Jesus recognized that moment was there, that if he didn't, it would be stolen from him and that would tie Jesus' hands. Amen. So he goes on in verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now, why were they weeping and wailing greatly? Because they thought this was an irrecoverable loss and that the little girl was gone and there is no way they'll ever see her again. And kind of indicative of where a lot of people are at. And so it's really, just that fear of death that is there in a lot of people's lives today, Christians included, and it shouldn't be. Now, unbelief, you'll see, these people were in unbelief, amen? They were in unbelief. And so when Jesus walks in, he said in verse 39, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps." And they go from weeping and wailing at the end of verse 38 greatly. You see that? They had no hope. There was a fear of death there. They're weeping and wailing greatly. In verse 40, they begin laughing. This is what unbelief does. It has great swings. Okay? It goes from, it's very unstable. Unbelief is very unstable. You remember an instance in the Old Testament, and we'll wrap it up right here. But do you remember in the book of Genesis when the Lord was speaking to Abram and said that you would have a child and so on, that they'd have children, and Sarah was listening, and Sarah laughed? Do you remember that? She laughed. Oh, yeah, sure she laughed. And then the Lord said, "Why did you laugh?" "I didn't laugh." Come on, man. God knows what you're doing. No, it wasn't me. That was somebody else, Yeah, right. Like the Lord God Almighty can't see that you're laughing. People try to play that game with God. I didn't do that. No. That's not. God knows my heart. Yeah, you just remember he does know your heart, okay? And he knows what you say and what you don't say. Amen. But here they have this great swing that takes place. They go from weeping and wailing greatly to laughing. And unbelief will do that. Carnal folks, they'll laugh at people that walk in faith. They'll laugh at you and I when we speak the word. And they'll think you're crazy. And they'll mock you over it. They'll mock you over your stand for Christ. Be prepared. Don't let it get to you. But, you've got to have something stronger on the inside of you than the feelings that may arise when you confront situations. The feelings that arise, faith is not a feeling. Do you hear me? Faith and feelings don't go together. If you go by feelings, you're liable to say, I don't feel anything. I couldn't be healed. I don't feel anything. Well, feelings have nothing to do with faith. These folks were moved by their feelings, and then they laughed at Jesus who came in and said what he said. They laughed him to scorn. It was a thigh-slapping, hooting, hollering laughter that they had about Jesus saying what he said. But when he had put them all out, that's how he answered it. Get out of here. I like that. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged him straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. the bottom line is with these folks that were laughing, we'll just stop right here. The folks that were laughing were being moved by, you know, what they thought was public opinion. Well, this person was dead, and if we stand up and try to and say she's just sleeping, go ahead, stand to your feet, then people will laugh at us. So when Jesus came in and said she's just sleeping, she's not dead, they laughed at him. And there's a lot of swing going back and forth today with public opinion, and you need to be very careful what you put any stock in. So if somebody says something on Facebook or somebody says something on Twitter or whatever, I mean, just come on. It's not about how many likes you can get and the comments and the opinions that people put out there. I'll tell you what, most of the stuff that you see out there when people are commenting on things, you know, scriptural things, I just refrain. I'm not even going to get into it with a lot of people out there. Now, you know, I don't have any back and forth in a negative way with any of y'all. I know that. But the fact is, I have people that I know that'll say stuff. Somebody put one on not too long ago about this person turned into an angel. You know, that it wasn't. I'm like, oh man, I don't even want to go down that road. I don't even want to have to try to straighten them out. You know, I'm not going to get into an argument. You know, it's kind of like somebody that doesn't understand the scriptures and they're going to argue with you based on experience and all based on tradition with no scripture to back it up. Let it alone. Let it alone. Don't go there. You don't have to try to prove anything. Amen. Come on, it's true. But this swing back and forth and emotions that get tied into all that stuff, we need to be very careful who we listen to and where we allow ourselves to inject anything. So it's very, very important that you stay submitted to the Lord and don't get caught up in all that garbage. And it is garbage. And anyway, I know there's some good things on there, but too much of the time people put way too much stock in that. And I don't want to be a person caught up that way. I want to keep myself submitted and committed to the Lord so that when situations arrive, I can speak to situations. I can speak to the wind and the waves. I can speak in the name of Jesus to the sickness and the disease and all that and actually have some inroad in the spirit to do some serious damage to the works of the enemy. Amen. Amen. So Jairus, of course, was submitted and committed to the Lord, and we see it obviously. And even when things didn't look good, he stayed on the word. He stayed on the word. So, Father, we thank you and praise you and give you glory tonight for Jairus, this example of his daughter being healed. We give you glory and praise tonight for the good things that we can glean from the word regarding this situation. Father, we will not turn a deaf ear. We will not turn away and say, well, you know, that was in Bible days and that can't happen today. Oh, on the contrary. The word is the same. Jesus is the same. And Jesus and the word are one. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we stand. We thank you for the good reports that we have heard today. This night, rather, regarding the reports, the prayers that have gone up for this person that had cancer and for our brother James, who has had and received a very, very good report, and the financial side of all of that being put together. And Lord, I thank you for taking care of these things. I thank you for how you are orchestrating the complete picture of divine well-being in these individuals as we stand together corporately in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Rebecca's mama. Oh, yes, yes, and yes again. We thank you and praise you for the progress that's being made. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Y'all agree with that? Please say amen. Amen. Amen.